we're seeing our usual primary care presentation of aches and pains and orthopedic injuries and follow-ups. We're seeing the usual people who are acutely ill, and we're seeing people who are acutely ill and we're concerned with the possibility of the COVID. And our clinic is set up very well. We have a three-path approach to our patients as they come in. When they enter our foyer, they're screened with temperature check and information taken. And if they're here for normal, non-infectious follow-up or visits, they go to the right into the main clinic. If they're here for sickness, they're put in a mask and routed into our urgent care. And if they're here for illness or sickness and they answer questions that put them at risk for COVID, higher temperature, shortness of breath, chest pain, that kind of thing, they're routed to our infectious disease entrance, which is at the back door of the clinic. And back there, they are evaluated by an extender, our doctor in PPE gear, and there'll be testing done. If they need a chest x-ray, we do that, and that's all done under very special controlled situations, and they'll be asked, unless they're genuinely sick with a low pulse ox, that kind of thing, to go back to the car, and we'll begin to treat if necessary, and if needed in some form or fashion with antibiotics, nebulizers, that kind of thing. If we feel that they are genuinely sick, whether or not it be with COVID, what they're having trouble breathing, a pneumonia of some kind, then they may well wind up in the ER. But it's a very strict three-pathway response right now to our clinic. And then recently we added a fourth access to our clinic, which is telehealth, which are virtual visits available online through computer, phone, or iPad. And that's where the patient, an existing patient or a new patient, can dial in, go through the front office and get access scheduled to a doctor or an extender. And then there is a virtual clinic performed online. And that's a wonderful service, in large part available now in Texas because of our representative for Price. So that's been a wonderful extension. Now, as far as what we're seeing, as far as visits, it's pretty well about the same, with the exception of obviously the severe concern over the COVID virus. I mean, we see the usual follow-ups, we see the usual sickness, because this is a sicky time of year in West Texas with allergies, asthma, that kind of thing. Now, if there is one additional saving grace with all of this, I believe it's that we're going into it spring and summer, and not going into a long, cold winter. So I'm very hopeful that we'll see some changes in the trajectory of the illness because of that.
Yeah, Dr. Gross, you mentioned that this is a normal time of year where you're going to see an increase of patients. But due to the concern of COVID-19, have you seen an uptick in business there at that Family Medicine Center in Canyon?
We stay pretty busy all of the time. So it's not an appreciable uptick one way or the other. We see the patients any way we can, as best we can, and provide the care that we need to provide. So we're busy, and we're very fortunate to have a large number of really top-notch physicians and nurse practitioners and physician assistants, 10 or last count, 10 or 11, that stay very busy throughout the year.
Let me ask you this question. Let's kind of go back to square one here. What can people look for if they're, you know, kind of freaking out right now and thinking, oh, you know, I need to go get a test, I need to do this? What are the first symptoms maybe that they need to be looking for before they even go to that step?
Well, the symptoms may be none and are very mild in 80 to 85% of the people. They may have a runny nose, no fever, not be sick at all. 80 to 85%, 15 to 16% present is acutely ill. About 1% of those have significant issues and potential mortality. So I think if they want a test, well, right now, I'm not sure anywhere in the country they're going to, at least in our area, they're not going to get a test. If someone comes in wanting one, they're in short supply. Now that can change day by day, week by week. You know, it's a new day every day that FDA approves some kind of new testing well, it's approved, but it's not out yet, and it may take a week or two. So testing is still a limited access and limited commodity, and it's on really who needs it and how we can best screen. And I really look forward for a couple of reasons to more testing, because hopefully we can allay some people's fears. And the more information we know, and I think the big issue is with this has been the unknown. And the unknown is scary. So each day that goes by, we know a little bit more. Now, that doesn't mean there's still not fear, but we know a little bit more about the virus. We know a little bit more about where and how it attacks. Now, we don't like some of what we find, but at least we're beginning to know a little bit more about it. So right now, I would say, and this is the best response I've heard, I think, from anyone. It was an interview with one of the fine physicians at our nation's capital, and he was asked as if someone is sick, what should they do? And his response was, what would you do 6 months ago? Well, if I feel kind of bad, I would have stayed home from work. I would have washed my hands, stayed away from my family, stayed away from my kids, taken a few over-the-counter medications. And if I got better, I'd forget about it. You can't quite do that, but that's where that is. If I didn't get better, I'd see the physician. Well, there you go. If you aren't getting better, you don't feel good, you ought to come in and see the physician, or if you feel more comfortable, do the telemedicine. Now, there is the problem that there are people who are infectious and without knowing it, they're not acutely ill, and that's one of the problems with this virus, is that people can shed it and people can be infectious and not even know they're sick. So that's a real issue, but we don't do that. Can't tell that without testing. We can't do the testing until we increase our volume and our access to the tests. I look forward to more tests. Another reason is the more information we get, the better. And the trend line, when we get more testing, we'll see a bump, a huge bump in positives as time goes by, a short time goes by. I'm sure we'll see a huge bump in the West Texas area, Amarillo Canyon area, because we're testing more. Well, that's good news, bad news. Bad news is we get a bump. Good news is the mortality rate goes down. It started out at 3%, say. Now it's down to about 1%. Whereas we see more people who are infected and not terribly ill, that means the mortality rate goes down. And then the codicil to that is, now, right now we're talking about molecular testing. We're seeing whether or not the molecules are in people's nasal passages, oral pharynx, or lungs. Serology testing that's coming up pretty quickly will tell you if people have in fact had it, didn't even know it, and have immunity to it. So that changes the entire profile again. And so if we find out that there's a significant part of the population who has had it and didn't know it and didn't react to it other than build immunoglobulins, then that drives the mortality rate down even more. So there are lots of moving targets, lots of moving parts to this to get accurate information. And I think probably going into this more than y'all cared to, but there was an excellent article this morning by, I think it was on a study by Michael Levitt, an epidemiologist, Nobel laureate chemist, who has done very involved modeling, and he begins to watch the trajectory or the acceleration of disease processes, not the velocity, meaning how fast they're moving, but how fast that velocity is changing. And he says, and very rightfully so, that when you begin to watch that change in acceleration, a diminution of that acceleration, even though velocity is increasing, you're beginning to turn the curve. You're over the hump on the disease process. And he very precisely predicted the curve in China and in South Korea, and he's hopeful that we'll see similar effects around here with our quarantining, three-tiered quarantining, which is closing schools, closing work, and staying home from work. So there's some optimism on the horizon as far as predicting what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, you've mentioned a couple of things there that we're learning. Every day this seems to evolve. We're learning something new every day. What are some of those new findings that are helping you as a medical professional treat this?
Well, you know, hot on the list right now is the plaquenil or the hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak, Azithromax. And there's hope about that. I don't doubt that there won't be other combinations of medications out there that will be useful. The filtering of immunoglobulins from people who have had it and developed a resistance to it is also hopeful as well. I also believe that vaccine development has moved along at a record pace, and I would not be surprised if we see a vaccine within a year. Now, I'm watching what's going on and just going by my feeling, but there's a remarkable ability in this country with the technology we have, with the brilliance of the people, with the drive that we have to develop these things, and we have to, and we will do it.
Let me ask you this question. You know, we're getting this report card every afternoon at 2:30 from the Amarillo City County Health Department and stuff. And right now, they know of 6 cases here in the Texas Panhandle. From your standpoint, is that pretty good for the size of population that we have? Are people following the rules and are people doing the things they're supposed to be doing? You know, what do you think about that?
I think that's very good, but I also think that could lull us. I don't think that's probably completely accurate. I don't doubt that we won't see more positive cases. We will. I don't have a doubt at all of that. But I think remarkably, the people are in Amarillo Canyon. They're using their judgment. They're staying home. They're staying isolated. I like to walk in the park near our home, and when I walk by someone on the same sidewalk, we veer to the side a little bit to maintain our 6 feet, and that's good and a little sad that you don't feel comfortable walking by people like that. But it will change. We'll see some entrenched behavior changes, but I think the people of this area are doing very well and doing a remarkable job.
So, Dr. Gross, let me ask you, you know, when I go home, yes, I work in news, but I see all the Facebook posts and things at home, just like everybody else. And I'm curious, you know, we've switched to this takeout model for food. How worried do people in the community have to be about the virus potentially spreading, you know, on food? Is that something we have to worry about?
You know, I have seen data that shows it can stay on cardboard, it can stay on surfaces. I have seen the fast food places and other restaurants take extra precautions with their food handlers with masks and gloves. So there may be a remote possibility, but I at this point don't see a great issue with that, because I think everyone's trying to do their best on this.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you this question. If you can tell us again, you've talked about some telemedicine sites and places like that. Where can people, through family medicine centers and the Care Express and BSA, all those, get some of those assets, find them on their computer or iPhone, iPad, whatever?
If you go to our Care Express FMC website, their phone numbers and access to each clinic, and simply call that phone number, call the one that is nearest to you, see whether or not that how they wish you to address it. Now, if you're an existing patient, they'll put you in a queue and you'll be called back. If you're not an existing patient, then they'll have to get some contact information and that kind of thing. I'm trying to think of what that's really about it. That's how you contact, that's how you do it. It's a remarkable capability that has been presented to us, and it's good for the patient. It helps us feel better about the care we're providing the patient, and I think that's kind of a summary of it. Contact the clinic, call the number, tell them what you need, tell them what you... Now, let me put an addendum into that. Not every patient visit is appropriate for telemedicine.
Right.
Okay.
If someone calls up and says, I'm dragging my left foot and I had a headache last night, well, they need to be seen. If they're going to have a stroke, they need to be seen.
Yeah.
If they're having chest pain, they need to be seen. Mm-hmm. If they twisted their ankle, they need to be seen. So there will be an evaluation whether or not you are, in fact, appropriate for a virtual clinic visit. Sometimes you just still have to lay hands on the patient.
Let me ask you this. Do they have access on there for to help people out that may have anxiety or maybe be scared right now and
depression? I had two or three telemedicine visits yesterday about treating people with anxiety and depression, adjusting medications, talk them through a little bit of it, and it's very good. And I think it probably may be in that particular for that particular diagnosis, a little better than an on-site visit after you have evaluated them initially. They can be in the comfort of their own home. If they're having anxiety about getting out, they're sitting at home, I'm looking in the eye, and I can tell what's going on. And it's so much, telemedicine is so much better than a telephone contact. We're saying, doc, my daughter had a strep throat. Can you call me in some antibiotic? You're not looking them in the eye. You're not listening to them talking. You're not watching them. Watching how they breathe. Well, on a virtual visit, you are. You can see all this, and you can take a great deal of information by looking a patient in the eye, even over a computer screen. Their color, how they're breathing, how they appear. So it's a great help, and I think particularly with anxiety and depression. Yeah.
All right, great. Yeah, and I was curious, you know, telemedicine is obviously a great thing. I don't think, I personally have never used it, even though it's been offered to me through the companies that I've been working for. Has the coronavirus changed the way that you handle the public at your location? You were talking about a three-way approach earlier. Is that something you typically do, or is this a new phase in medical care for y'all?
Well, this is a more enhanced. I mean, we always tried to route our sick patients to a unique area.
Mm-hmm.
And dividing those even further, the sick patients who may have COVID to a more unique area. So it's the same concept, only we're taking it a little farther. And taking it farther still in our clinic, in the hopefully near future, we're looking at expanding our infectious entrance to where we have holding rooms unique for them, where we also have ultraviolet light sterilization of the area and upgrading the entire HVAC of our clinics for filtration. Now, that's on the drawing board, but hopefully very, very quickly, because even if this passed very quickly, it won't be the last time something like this happens. Hopefully it'll be the last time something to this degree happens, but the yearly influenza, the meningitises that run through periodically. There's always a need for you to be extra careful with some patients and the unknown out there for some patients and with some patients.
Well, we just want to say that we are applauding the efforts that you and everyone in the medical field are doing during these trying times and very uncertain times for us.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you for the support of the community. And again, we're very fortunate to have the people of West Texas as they are. They're appreciative, they're kind, and it's why I'm here. That's why I've been here as long as I have.
All right, tell us one more time what people of Amarillo and the Texas Panhandle Canyon can do to make sure that they are safe.
Right now, follow the recommendations of stay at home, stay away from crowds, personal hygiene, for goodness sake, wash your hands. And I heard the statement that wash your hands like you just sliced jalapeno peppers and you're getting ready to put your contacts in.
Ow!
So wash your hands to that degree. If you're sick, stay home. If you know someone who's sick, stay away from them. Don't visit friends or family in the hospital. Stay well hydrated. Vitamin C. Hydration is important because it keeps the nasal membranes moist, helps capture more virus. Same with mucous membranes of the lungs. They function better. So those things that we knew growing up about staying well-rested, take vitamin C, stay well-nourished, sleep, don't sit up and stay up all night, rest. rest, rest, and more rest. And that's what you can do, and I think that will go a long, long way toward this.
All right, Dr. Robert Gross from Family Medicine Centers, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for calling in. And one more time, give us the website where people can go and get more information.
CareExpress, CareExpressFMC.com. And that gives access to all of our clinics. It also has immediate links to recommendations from the CDC, to updated information to this area. So it's a good site to go to, even if you don't need to see a physician, even if you don't need care, for literally real-time access to information.